Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
All right, so for the next few minutes, I just want to talk to you. This is a shorter message, and not knowing what was going to happen, I'm like, great, awesome. We won't go out over to 12:30 today on Father's Day. That wouldn't be good. But anyway, it'd be worse if it was Mother's Day, because I'm not afraid of you guys. But I am afraid of, no, I'm just kidding. So I want to place this message around a value, if I could, okay, just to dive in real quick. It's a value that on Father's Day, every guy here loves to receive. It's a value that every person deserves to receive. It's a value that every Christian is asked to demonstrate. And the Bible, how many of the Bible is full of values? Things that are eternal, things that are purposeful, things that are intentional. It teaches us how to live in a way that is contrary to the ways of the world. And so it's been said that we are living in the most critical, most condemning, most canceling culture yet. I don't know if that's accurate, but sometimes it sure does feel that way because of the expanse of knowledge and access to information. I mean, people are so quick to retort back, aren't they? So quick to respond to a Facebook post or a tweet and unleash this tsunami of comments. And so what I want to do is really, if you're a follower of Christ and you love him, we're called to live a different way. Look at your neighbor and say, live differently. We aren't to be like the culture around us. We're called to live different. And here's the value of the day. You can see it on the screen, but it's a good Father's Day value. But more importantly, it's an everyday value for all of us. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says this, honor one another above yourselves. It even tells you how. Not just people you like, not just people you know, not just your fellow Christians, not just the people that you may vote for, not just because they're from the area that you grew up in. One translation says it this way, honor everyone. Do it like you want it done to you. In other words, Jesus taught about it. He taught it this way in Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus just laid down some powerful teaching leading up to this moment in Matthew 13. He's done some powerful miracles leading up to this moment in Matthew 13. Look at it, verse 53. When Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country and he returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get his wisdom and power to do miracles? And look at what happened next. Look what Jesus says next. It sounds like how people act today. I mean, it's like people are like, and then something pops up and they're just like, ah, right? Look at it, verse 55. Then they scoffed, like immediately. He's just the carpenter's son. We know Mary. We know his mother and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to lower Jesus down, aren't they? They're trying to, like, cut him down so he's just like them. Try to bring him down to their level. Look at what Jesus says in verse 57. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Do you ever feel like people are out? I mean, do you ever feel like people are out looking to get offended? It's just like, I just, you know, sometimes I just want to ask, or like, do you just want to be offended today? Because you're like doing really good, like taking it all on. And here's the truth about offense, okay? And we could preach a whole message on this, but every time you get offended, every time you embrace offense, you have an inability to receive from that person. I embrace an offense. Robin does something that offends me, and I take on an offense. all of a sudden I have done something. I have put a wall up that makes it, it could, if I allow it to fester, if I allow it to take up inappropriate space in my life, all of a sudden I have the inability to receive from that person. I see it all the time. I see people get offended because of a church or because of a pastor or whatever. They take up this offense, and if they're not careful, it wrecks them. Isn't that what happened to the people in Matthew chapter 13? They couldn't receive from Jesus. And how does Jesus respond to this toxicity? Look at it, verse 57. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his own family. So then, there's a place where he's getting honor. I think as you look at this, there's a point where he's getting honor, and there's this point where he doesn't receive honor. So let me just talk to you about this idea of without honor and honor playing out here. In the Greek, which is the language of Scripture, at least the New Testament, without honor is the Greek word atomos. It means this: to dishonor, to treat as common or ordinary, to make them less than they really are. And that's exactly what is going on here with Jesus, right? These individuals are trying to make Jesus less than he really is. Just common. Just, isn't this the you know, isn't this Jesus, you know, the brother of James and the mother, his mother Mary, just a common guy. The Greek would think something as common or light or easily done away with, such as a vapor. It's interesting as you think about that. What is James? The book of James tells us about life. It is a vapor. It's gone. But honor, on the flip side, is the Greek word tima, or it looks like time, but it's pronounced tima. It means to value, respect, or highly esteem, to treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. So how do you do that? That becomes the question. How do we do that in a culture like that, in a society like that? Because let's be honest, many of us act like we're from Missouri. We live the Missouri motto of show me, prove it to me. Right? Instead of living like Kansas, which our motto is what? It's to the stars through difficulties. In other words, I'm seeing the best. I'm seeing the possibilities. I'm seeing the potential. Let's say it's this way about honor: to value, to see its worth, to add weight. What does that call the people of God to be doing? While the world is stripping people of their dignity and of their worth, the people of God should be adding value and worth to people. To dishonor means to take something lightly, to not appreciate it. The Honor Them Both Amendment coming up in August speaks to that very thing. We want this church, we want Life Point Church to be a church that is awesome at giving honor to one another, to those that come into this place, whether it's their first time or they've been here for decades. We want a culture of honor here, not so that we can blow our own horns, not so that we can have an agenda behind that. Listen, that is why every time when we do our quarterly iLeads, we pause in the middle of that to celebrate somebody that is serving and is involved in ministry. We wish we could do for everybody, but each time we have an iLead, so we can't do it for everybody in that moment, but we're going to do it for some. We're going to honor people for serving. Why? Because honor elevates. Dishonor decimates, doesn't it? Robin and I, let me just, I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable in some of my illustrations this morning, so don't judge me, okay? Several years ago, we were at the mall, and Robin and I were leaving the mall, and that's always a good feeling. Amen? we were leaving the mall, and as we were leaving, there was a couple of Muslim ladies that were they were dressed in their attire, and they were walking behind us. And so we were exiting the double doors and went through one, and I opened the door for Robin. And I remained there holding the door for them and so that they could walk too. Robin walks through. She says, thank you. And I said, oh, anytime for you. And then the ladies walked through. I think there was three of them, if my memory serves me right. And there was nothing. There was no response. There was no eye contact. There was nothing. They just walked through. I learned a cultural lesson from that moment, but back to the point, honor elevates. And I have to be honest with you, as I sat there holding the door open for my wife so that she could walk through, and then they walked through, if I could be transparent with you, what went through my mind in a moment was this. Hey, next time someone holds the door for you, you should say thank you. That went through my mind, all right? Don't judge me. Since then, like I said, I've learned some cultural things from some friends that come from that part of the world where I learned, okay, I know what they were doing now. But in essence, they didn't acknowledge me because they were honoring their husbands by not looking at me. Makes sense now. But in that moment, as I was standing there going, you had the audacity to walk through the door that I hold for you, and you didn't say thank you. Don't you know this is Kansas? That's not how we function around here, right? The Holy Spirit whispered to me really gently, and it was just like, shh, Steve, place value on people. Honor them. I'm a Christian. I want to prefer others above myself. I want to give honor even if it's not returned. Why? Because that person didn't ask me to honor them. God has asked me to honor them. Right? And so I want to respond to that and what God has called me to do. And we're called to put others first, and God has called us to this. And I confess to you, all right, I get impatient. Sometimes when I go to the grocery store, my cart is a Formula One car. And I am on a mission, and I want to get through. And I have apparently, according to some people close to me, I even tailgate in the grocery aisles. Just get back. They're going too slow. I could be done by now, you know, right? Here's the biblical truth and some challenges that I want to leave us with this morning. Principle from God's word. Honoring begins with God's claim on them. You struggle with honoring somebody. You struggle with honoring maybe a boss or an employee or a colleague or a parent or your kid or whatever the sin. Honoring begins with God's claim on them. Honoring, let me just say this, honoring begins with God's view of them. How many of us struggle with this? You see people as they are, right? You see people in their brokenness and in their mess, and maybe some of the mess that they've brought to your life, their failures. The other day, a couple weeks ago, we were at Walmart, Robin and I. We were there. It was later in the evening, and Walmart's always interesting, right? And we were there, and we were headed towards the checkout area, but we were over and walking by the clothing area, and I saw somebody. Again, don't judge me. This is a judge-free zone, okay? But I saw somebody that was, and I looked at them. And I didn't say anything, but I looked at them. And I looked at them with not a heart of honor, but a heart of judgment. heart that saw their brokenness. And we walked through, and I didn't say anything to Robin, but we were up there at this, you know, entering into the self-checkout line, and I was talking. And she's like, "What? What are you saying?" I'm like, "Nothing. I was talking out loud, but not loud enough," or she was just so excited to be at Walmart, she wasn't paying attention to me, or well, I don't know, but she was so excited about the ice cream. Oh, I got the ice cream. Let's go, you know. But now we're heading into the checkout area, and I was just talking. I was like, "Lord, you know." She's like, "What?" And she said, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm just repenting. Just repenting because I saw someone's brokenness, and I'm judging them because of their brokenness, and that's not pleasing to the Lord." And it wasn't a way to give honor and to the Lord or honor to the person. And so God is, you know, God has this incredible ability to see people and their depravity. An incredible ability to see people in their brokenness and in their sin. And at the same time, this ability to see them in their dignity. And God is calling us to do the same. To see them in their depravity, because that's how we see them, but also in their dignity. Let me just play this out, if I can, in Scripture. Romans chapter 8, an incredible passage of Scripture, a powerful, probably one of the most powerful chapters in the New Testament, as Paul is writing these treaties, this proclamation of God's grace from the book of Romans. And he says this in verse 30, "And those he predestined," we could say, well, predestination, there's this whole theology or this idea that if I could describe it this way, predestination for some is that the idea that God has written a play and left some people out of the play, that not everyone gets to participate. Now, some people go to hell because God left them out of the play, if you want to just boil it down. But let me just break down this idea of predestination from Romans 8. Pre is a plan. That God has this pre-destiny for you. He has a pre-plan for you, if you will. Before you went there, he saw it. As parents, you do this with your kids all the time. Before they graduated from school, if they've gotten to that point, you saw them graduating from school. Right? You enroll them. I mean, we graduate from kindergarten from now, good grief. But you enroll them, you drop them off on the first day of kindergarten. You're like, "Okay, this is a big year for you, and you're gonna go to kindergarten," and you're wiping your tears and you're wiping your kids' tears, and they go in and they make it, man, they're learning their ABCs, they're learning how to read, they're learning chemistry, it's amazing. Right? And they're there, and then they graduate. And you, as you drop them off that first day of school, man, it's like, you're going to make it. You're going to graduate from you're a Reins. You better graduate, right? And you saw your kid graduate from school. I saw them graduate before they started adulting. You saw them. I saw my boys adulting. And then they got to that point, and me and Robin partied, man. We were just like, yes, freedom. Right? God has a predestination for every single person. And even when you aren't living out your calling, he sees what you could be and should be and what he desires for you. You saw them graduate. And it goes on to say, "Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." He sees you as called. I mean, again, we sang a song earlier today, unplanned, not tied into this at all. But when Nate was saying, "You said," when we sang that song, "You said," you are declaring that verse. He sees you as called. He sees you as justified. He sees you as glorified. So let me just say this. Give me a parenting tip, if I can. Parents, call your kids to who they are. Speak, I mean, just that silly little video that we watched. Call them to what God has called them to be. Speak that into their life, because the world and culture is trying to speak so many other things into their life. God sees in all of us who we can become. Live that way. If you're not convinced yet, look at this, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit. Peter says, submit. How many know submit doesn't mean if you agree with the person or what they're doing is okay? It says, submit yourself to for the Lord's sake. This honors God if I do this, in other words. Submit yourself to the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether you agree with them or not. Whether to the king, and we have to understand, remind yourself, if you forget or you didn't know this, as Peter is writing these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter would have been writing to those people about the king, and the king at that time would have been Nero, who was leading Rome. And Nero was a guy who killed people for fun. He would consider it sport to see blood flow. And Peter's writing this. Peter comes along and says, yes, even him, as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Peter, really, give honor? Treat as weighty? Why does God call us to do this? The only reason I can figure out is simply this. It's in hopes of reaching people. Think back to when we were youth pastors, our first time being, I was still single at the time, and there was a young girl in our in the youth ministry there. She was in high school. She was an incredibly talented musician, played the piano, incredible voice, and she got hooked up with this guy who wasn't a follower of Jesus, wasn't passionate about Jesus. And as I watched her get engaged in this relationship and stuff, I saw her heart grow cold, and it grew calloused, and to where she was like, led our little youth worship time that we would have on Wednesday nights, and there was times when she didn't show up. She didn't call to say, hey, I'm not going to be there, and we just saw this turn happen within her where she was just like, you know. And I can remember part of me wanted to get upset with her. Part of me wanted to pull her aside and just, like, you know, drop the hammer on her. But we went a different route and just began to call out, man, Melissa, God has such a plan. You deserve the best. God has someone prepared for you that is going to treat you like you deserve to be treated. Make sure you protect that. Make sure you don't settle for something other than the best for your life. Best mate, you know, and just begin to call stuff out. And as it was so cool to watch this shift happen within her heart, within her life. How does that happen? You give honor to people. You speak and you call out that which God is doing in their lot. So here's a thought. When we ascribe honor to someone, they often become more honorable. Don't wait for them to deserve it. Give it anyway. And let me just say this. We don't honor for selfish motives, but let's be true. Let's be honest. Honoring benefits us as an individual. It isn't that you are trying to elevate yourself, but when you speak life into people, it does something for you. Here's what Jesus said in the rest of the teaching there in Matthew 13, verse 57. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown, and among his own family. And then look what it says next, verse 58. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Mark's gospel says it this way, same account, Mark chapter 6, verse 5. It says in the NIV, he could not. In other words, it's like he wanted to do mighty works there, but he couldn't. Let me ask you, why couldn't he do it? He couldn't do it because they were dishonoring him. He couldn't do many miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. It makes me wonder how much dishonor weakens a person spiritually. Just a question. What does the Bible say conversely? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. What is the result? You look at that passage of Scripture. What is the result of honoring your father and your mother, according to that passage? That it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life, right? What are you doing when you value in this way? Can I just submit to you that when we value and when we live this value, what we're doing is we're posturing our hearts. The more you value it, the more I get value from it. So let me ask you, what are you valuing this week? I mean, this week we get to live, you will have opportunities, kids, you'll have opportunities to live this with your parents. You'll have opportunities to live this at your place of work. Back to where we started, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, outdo, in the English Standard Version, outdo one another in showing honor. Let me just give you some application real quick. How do you do that? How can you do that today? If you go out to lunch today, or if you go out with some friends sometime this week, challenge you, get the ticket. Pick up the ticket. Honor them that way. Text some people. Even today, sit down and text some people. Say, hey, I just want to let you know that I honor you and I love you. I'm so grateful that you're in my life. I did that earlier this morning. I texted my father-in-law. Said, hey, man, it was great spending time with you yesterday. I just want you to know that I honor you, I value your example and hard work, faithfulness, and your desire to love and follow Jesus. I honor you. I did it with my pastor, Pastor Terry Yancey. Hey, I thank you for being a spiritual father for me, to me. I thank you for your leadership in my life. I just want you to know, I honor you, and thank you for providing steps for me to follow in. Happy Father's Day. I did that to my spiritual father, Pastor Bo Moline, and shot him a note. I encourage you to take some time today. It doesn't take long, but man, it speaks volumes into people's lives. To all the dads in the room, all the dads to be, I honor you. In a world, in a culture that likes to make dads the punchline, I honor you. Thank you for working hard, for providing for your families, for staying in the fight when at times you wanted to quit, when you could have walked away, where you could have threw up your hands, but you stayed in the fight, thank you. Thank you for being that example. Thank you for fighting the fight. Thank you for not giving up on commitment. Thank you. Thank you for setting an example for your family of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Yeah, you don't do it perfect all the time. You're like me. You rush through Walmart and run over old people. Sometimes it's young people. I'm just like, give me an air horn and it'll be safer. But thank you, dads. Thank you for being engaged in your kids' lives. Even when you're tired after a long day of work and it would be so easy to plop yourself down on the easy chair and grab an iced tea and just want to turn off to everybody else. Thank you for engaging your family and speaking value and worth into those young people in your home. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Men, thank you. I honor you. Because there's 1,000 other places that you could have been today. And you said, I want to be in the house of the Lord. Because I want to honor God with my presence. To honor calls us to walk in humility. And I heard this statement this week. And I thought, man, this is so good. And it was this, a man on his face can never fall from that position. A man on his face can never fall from that position. Walk humbly and live a life of honor. As we close today, if the worship team would come, I guess. I had y'all do the set. I don't know. You can stay put. I think I've told this story before, but so illustrates this closing thought this morning. Babe Ruth, if you are a baseball fan, know anything about baseball, Babe Ruth is most say was the greatest home run hitter in the major leagues. And he was known for, he had signed hundreds of baseballs, but he only signed 7 bats. This isn't one of them. Just in case you were wondering. Only 7 bats. And, you know, all the people that are into collecting sports memorabilia, they knew where 6 of the bats were. They didn't know where the 7th one was at. And some guy had Babe Ruth's last bat, and he was failing in his old age. And as he laid in his bed and he was thinking about his estate, he didn't have any family members to give his estate to. And he thought about his bat that had Babe Ruth's signature on it. It was in the closet. And his nurse that had been with him through his illness, through his last days, came into the room. And he said, Maria, would you please go to that closet? I want to give you something. Would you grab that bat out of that closet? Maria, faithful nurse, went to the closet, grabbed the bat, and the old man said, listen, Maria, that bat probably doesn't mean anything to you, but that's a special bat. It has a special signature on it. I want you to have that bat. You don't understand the value of that bat, but I want you to take that bat. Maria said, great, thanks. Took it, went home, and threw it under her bed. And as she came to the end of her career in 2006, she wanted to retire from nursing. And upon retiring, she had a dream of opening a restaurant. She's like, how am I going to fulfill this dream? How am I going to accomplish this dream? I don't have the resources to open up a restaurant. And all of a sudden she remembered that there was a bat under her bed. And so she ran home and pulled that bat out and looked at it and said, this means absolutely nothing to me. but went down to a sports memorabilia place and said, "Can you tell me what this bat is worth and why this bat is so important?" And the guy looked at it, grabbed it and looked at it and said, "Oh my goodness, this is the seventh bat that Babe Ruth signed. This bat is so, so valuable and so, so important." Long story short is that they put it on an online bidding thing, and that bat sold, that Lady Maria's bat sold for $1.3 million. Only because of the name on it. That bat was worth just $20. But because of the name on it, suddenly it had great value. She took the money and she opened up the restaurant, and then she donated the remainder of the money to Life Point Church. No, I'm just kidding. To a foundation for kids that Babe Ruth loved. And Maria made this statement. She said this, if you throw that quote up on the stage or on the screen, excuse me. "The bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's name was on it. Since he made it valuable, the only reasonable thing I could do was something that would honor his life." Why? Let me ask you a question, and then we'll pray. Why should you give honor even to someone that honor may be hard to give to? You do it, and you're able to do it because of the name that's written on that person. Because, friends, God's name is written on that person. It's that person who's made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, you are able to honor them. Again, it doesn't mean that you agree. It doesn't mean you support. It doesn't mean you like. It doesn't mean that you're in favor of everything that person stands for, everything person that person does. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means this: God, you've called me to honor that person, and so, Lord, because your name is on them, if that's the only reason that I can find to honor that person, then I'm going to honor them. Why do we honor you? You know why we honor you? Because God's name's on you. Why should you honor yourself? Maybe when you feel like you don't like yourself. Maybe when you feel like you sold yourself short of becoming all that you could have become. You honor yourself because of whose name is written on you, and it's God's. Therefore, friend, you are a person, in spite of your struggles, in spite of your failures, in spite of disappointments, you are worthy of honor because God said so. Amen. Father God, this morning, as we wrap up this morning, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for everyone's patience as we've gone long. But God, thank you for your presence here. And Lord, as we think about those words that Paul penned there in Romans 8, God, you have a plan for what we are and what we can become. And Lord, I just speak in the name of Jesus into every life here. You are called. You are called by the one who put his signature upon your life. You have the ability to be justified and be in right standings with God because of what he's done. And you, he has glorified you. He has prepared a place for you. He has blessed you because he's placed his name upon you. Father, for anyone here that as they have sat through this morning, they thought about the words to the songs, perhaps they thought about the content of this message, and Lord, they feel like, man, I don't feel like I've lived as a person of value. I feel like I have lived, Lord, not fulfilling what you have spoken over me. And God, I pray, Lord, for your grace to fill our lives. God, I pray for anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, that God, today would be a beginning point. If you're here in this place and you've never asked Jesus, you've never saw God valuing you or honoring you, but he has. And today that light bulb, if you will, has come on and you're like, man, I want to receive all that God has for me. I want to receive his forgiveness and my identity in him, that he has willingly desired to sign his name across my life. And I want to honor him with my life. If you're here today and you've never allowed Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and you're like, Steve, I want to begin there, would you just slip up your hand, anyone at all? Say, I want to do that. I want to take that step. Lord, you know our hearts. Have our hearts, Lord God. And Lord, just simply as I've gone on over, I just pray, Lord, I know honoring people can be challenging. It can be difficult because we see poor decisions being made perhaps, or they've hurt us, or God, we deal with our own brokenness and our own pride. Lord, I pray that we'd walk with humility and trying to live this out. I thank you for opportunity to live it out even this day, Lord God, we pray. And Lord, I just pray blessing over each one here today. And I pray for your help in all that we do and all that we put our hand to. God, may it glorify you, I pray. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and we're wrapping this up. Austin's going to come and close us, but just real quick, I just want you to, I know as I talked this morning, you thought about people. People went through your mind of, man, I struggle with honoring this person. I'm going to ask you just right, real quick, just for the next 30 seconds, just to pray for that person. Just lift them up before the Lord. Ask the Lord, God, help me to live this out when I come into contact with them. God, be glorified. Just take that moment and do that. Austin's coming to close us.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.